reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Zephaniah. It's found on page 508, and we read Zephaniah chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day, I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traders are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 1 Thessalonians, found on page 1265, and we read 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning at verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1062, and we read Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. The master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed. And you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, but I'd like to reread the first 2 verses. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each, according to his ability. Then he went away. This is our text. When I was growing up, things like True Green weren't quite so commonplace. And come May or June, most of the lawns around my neighborhood, including mine, were not bright green, they were bright yellow. And every now and again, being around 5 years old, and thinking that these things were pretty, I would gather up a bunch and bring them into the house and present them to my mother. She loved them. She thought they were the most glorious flowers she had ever seen. She'd give me a hug and kiss me. There might be a little something special in lunch that day. But I never knew dandelions were that beautiful. To the husbands that are in the church service today, I don't advise you to give dandelions to your wife on your anniversary. You have the ability to do more, and I suspect that she would be disappointed. And yet, though I do my best to keep dandelions out of my own yard, I suspect that if one of my grandchildren are over at my house someday and they gather some up and they present them to Grandma, she will tell them they're the most beautiful flowers that ever existed. And they'll get hugs and kisses and probably something extra special at lunch. It's amazing how the same gift from different people is received differently. A master went on a trip and he entrusted it to different servants, different amounts, each according to his ability. But at least with regard to two of those servants, though, if you will, the results of their investments were somewhat different, he was just as happy with both. There was that servant to whom he gave 5 talents. And the text says immediately, like he was looking forward to it. He went out and invested those 5 talents. When the master returned from his journey and called him in, he presented 5 more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. And his master said to him, "You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Everybody was happy. And then came the man to whom the master only gave 2 talents. The master discerned that he had, if you will, less ability. But with his 2 talents, he also returned 2 talents for his master. And like the first, when he comes to his master, he says, "You have delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. You can almost hear the excitement in his voice. And the master replies to him, as he did to the first, even though he made less, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And then came the one to whom only 1 talent was given. And that's where the story begins to change. We have to make sure we rightly understand the fear of this man toward his master. A lot of people reading this parable for the first time think he was just afraid to fail. But that's not quite where his fear lay. And you can tell that by the fact that he could have at least invested the money into the banks and earn some interest. No risk, but there'd at least be a little return for his master. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that's all he did. The master would have been happy with him. He didn't expect much.
And if he got a little back, he'd have been happy. But the real fear of this man is revealed in his understanding of the master and how things go with him. Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. What was he afraid of? He was afraid that if he did a lot of work, that his master would reap all the blessings. It's kind of like this. Let's say you sought out a stockbroker for your 401k or any investment you might have, and you gave your broker something to invest, and he doubled your money. And you went to him and say, "That's great. I'm really happy with what you did." And he says, "Okay, here's your money back. I'm keeping the rest." I don't think any of you would ever use that broker again. He wasn't working for you. He was only working for himself. And that's this third servant. He wanted to work for himself, not his master. Oh, he gave his master back what he had been given him, but that wasn't his charge. He was a wasteful, wicked, slothful servant. He found no joy in working for his master. And his master found no joy in him. This is a parable about us, describing our relationship with God. Here's the deal. He owns everything. Everything that you have is his. But we have to rightly understand what kind of ownership we're talking about. In Scripture, God doesn't ask us to come to him with the description chief operating officer. He doesn't invite us to call him boss. The words with which we address our God is the words of family. He is our Heavenly Father. You know, back when I was 5 years old picking those dandelions, I didn't have anything that was really my own. It was all my mother and father's. They provided for me. But I also had chores. You see, I lived in their house. I may have had my own room, but it was their house. And we were part of a family. And we worked together not for our own personal good. We worked together for the good of the family. Jesus tells us that there's not a lot of houses in heaven. There's one. In my house, he says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. And I prepared a place for you. We worked together for the good of the family. And that's what God wants to be our joy. But that's not the way it always is with us. We often end up working for our own good, don't we? forgetting what is best for our family, and even sometimes being rebellious against it. And going back to the first man and woman, that's how it's been with God and His relationship to us. We didn't trust Him. We ran. We hid ourselves from Him. We lied to Him. And then we try to blame our sins and our rebellion on others. Now, if you were just working for the CEO of a company, you'd probably be fired and that would be it. If God was just our boss, He'd say, enough of you, goodbye. While He owns everything, that's doesn't quite describe the relationship we have with Him. He's a father. And when His children rebelled against Him, He sent His only Son, the one who had been with Him from all eternity, to take on our human flesh, to die in our place, to make the payment for sins that we should have had to pay, with about one goal in mind, that we be brought back to His house, to live with Him, the rest of our family, and to find everlasting joy in pleasing Him, bringing our gifts, each according to our ability, to Him. If all you can do is a bunch of dandelions out of the front yard, He's overjoyed with that. If you can buy a bundle of roses, that's what you bring. Each according to His ability. But He loves us all equally. The joy He takes in us when we serve Him in His kingdom is equal no matter what we are able to bring. But that is our relationship. The only relationship we can really have with our Father. Not like that one servant who wanted to take what his master gave him and just use it for himself, and when he couldn't do that, he didn't want to do anything with it. That's not the servants that God calls to be with Him. But to those servants who do their best to serve Him in whatever way they can, to make it their goal. And when we do that, even when we do fail, He forgives. When we stray, He seeks us out and calls us back. And if we can't pay for what we have done wrong, He sends His one perfect Son to pay that price that we couldn't pay, that we might still dwell with Him. It's His stuff, not ours. But He gives it to us and trusts it to us that we might use it for the blessing of His entire family. May God grant that we see ourselves as children of that one Heavenly Father and make it our goal always in all that we do to serve Him in His kingdom. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.